Hey everyone, I'm Sandy Caldwell, and welcome to episode 19 of Quilt Cabana Corner. I hope you've got a nice hot cup of coffee or tea with you so you can settle in while we have a short magazine roundup, and we review the answers to the podcast research questions from last month, and while we talk about my new video cast that's up on YouTube, and some other quilty goodness. The podcast questions that I had put out in April were two-part. The first one was, what part of the world do you live in, and how much do you pay to have your sewing machine tuned up? I thought it would be interesting if we could see where people live and if that affects how much we pay for our tune-ups. And the second part of the question was, what do you consider vintage? These days, it seems everything's vintage, or everyone wants to label things as vintage. But what does that word mean to you? Is it a period in time? Is it a style? Is it just an idea? So we have lots of comments to go over for that. But first, let's start with talking about my new video cast, because I don't want you to miss it, and it has only just begun. And what it is basically a podcast, but a video. I'm going to try to put one out one time a week on YouTube, and you can find it if you search YouTube under Quilt Cabana. I searched it this morning, spelling it as two separate words and then also as one word. And the two videos that are posted there so far do show up either way. So it's Quilt Cabana on YouTube. One video that's out there is the sewing room tour that I put up many months ago, and then the other video that's up there is episode one, and it is also called Quilt Cabana Corner. And in that episode, it's just an introduction and a little book review, and basically this is just a chance for me to show you things instead of just talking about them on the podcast. It will not replace the podcast, at least not as of yet, till we see how it goes. I'd like to be able to continue to do both, because I really only seem to podcast once a month, which is fine because it takes me a while to read the magazines and find good content that I haven't already blogged about or tweeted about or put on Facebook. So hopefully the video, like in the one that's coming up on Thursday, we're going to Plymouth. I'm going to take you on a little walking tour of Plymouth. We were down there yesterday for my daughter's 14th birthday. I can't believe she's 14 already. And we had a blast just walking around. It's windy, so it's a little bit windy in the video, but I take you to see the waterfront and to see the very famous Plymouth Rock. And also a shot of the Mayflower is in there. So the video cast will cover what I'm working on in my sewing studio, maybe something that we've done in the Quilt Guild. Just short, it's short clips, and the video is 10 minutes, and it has to be less than 13 or 15 or whatever YouTube's restriction happens to be about the time limit on the videos. I can't remember what it is now. And it's free, so check it out. Again, it's going to be Quilt Cabana Corner, on YouTube, and you can look it up under Quilt Cabana. You might also be able to look it up under my name, too, Sandy Caldwell, I'm not sure. And, you know, if I have something that I can teach everyone, I will certainly do that. If you have an idea for the video cast, something you'd like to see, certainly let me know. But for the most part, it's just snippets of my daily quilting life. And it might cross over into other areas, too, if I'm working on something interesting for scrapbooking that I think you might all be interested in. I'll certainly share that. So it's a new journey. Join me. I hope that you'll like it. So let's get going with the magazine roundup. I just have two magazines today to look at. The first one I just want to say something quick about is McCall's Quick Quilts, the June-July issue. This magazine has lots of nice quilts in there this month. I'm not going to go over every one. I just want to point out that there is a uber cute quilt. It's actually a table runner. Well, it's two table runners, but one they're picturing hanging on the wall, but it certainly could be a table runner. And it's Cake and Ice Cream, and it was designed by Diane Nagel. And it's just so cute. It's all pink and brown, and the first quilt has ice cream cones, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them right in a row. And then the other one has 5 really, really cute cupcakes on it with a beautiful striped fabric as the cupcake liner, and then also, again, as the outer border. So if you have young children and you're having an ice cream social for whatever reason or cupcakes, you want to pick this up because it is just so cute. And I'll tell you what page that's on. That is on page 24. And the other magazine I had this month to share with you is Easy Quilts Summer 2012 issue. And again, lots of cute quilts, not going to pick out everyone because that will take too long today. But in their this and that column where they have new products, they are showing three interesting things really. The first one is a prairie pointer. It's a type of ruler that's made by Susan Cleveland, who right now is really hot on the prairie points. She has a book out about the prairie points, and she uses decorative stitches on them, and they are really, really cute. So this says, make perfect prairie points in minutes with the prairie pointer by Susan Cleveland. Follow her instructions to make prairie points ranging in size from 1/2 inch to 2.5 inch, and learn how to embellish them with decorative stitching. So that's a nice ruler if you feel you need a tool to help do that. The other interesting item on this is the cordless iron. It says, the lightweight cordless 360-degree freestyle steam iron by Panasonic comes in its own carrying case for easy traveling to quilt retreats or on trips. And it has a detachable water tank, automatic shutoff feature, electronic temperature control, and an anti-drip system. It even steams in the vertical position to freshen fabrics while they're hanging. So this is something new by Panasonic, and it's $99.95. So here's one more iron to add to all your iron choices out there. And of course, it's $100 because everything is $100 when it comes to irons lately. But I did think this was interesting because it had the detachable water tank. So check that out. And then also the Kaleidoscope Smart Plate Ruler. This is an interesting ruler that is designed for quilters to convert a pinwheel block into a kaleidoscope block by just placement and rotation of the template and trimming away the excess fabric. It says you can also use it to trim a four-patch to make a tilted block. So it's kind of an interesting ruler. It actually has the shape almost of like a pocket, like a jeans back pocket. Sort of wider at the top, a little narrower at the bottom, and you just put it on your pinwheel block at whatever angle you want, and it kind of comes out looking like a kaleidoscope. So I thought that was interesting. And in their this and that column, I'm seeing friction pens, and it's spelled FRIXION pens. And I'm hearing so much about these pens lately, so I was actually interested to see a little write-up on it. And they're marking pens that come off with the iron. So it's a pen, and it's a gel pen, and they come in different colors. And it says, if you make a mistake writing with these pens, simply touch the fabric with an iron, and the ink is gone. Use them for temporary markings, for piecing alignment, applique position, hand embroidery, and placement of embellishments. When used on paper, the gel ink formula can be erased easily over and over again without damage to documents. On someone's blog that I follow, and I wish I could remember her name, she was just blogging about these pens this week and how fantastic they are for marking fabric and that they really do come off with the touch of an iron. And interestingly enough, the last two quilts I've made, and I've used that blue marker that is supposed to be water soluble, the blue has not come completely out of my quilts. And I do have several other chalk pencil type items, but I'm not thrilled with those either. And this week I bought some Clover erasable pencils, and they were $8.50 for, I think, three of them in three different colors. I have not tried them yet, but in Thursday's video cast, I am going to try them, and I'm going to video while I try them, and we can see what we think of them, because I am desperate for a good marking pen. I also have the purple one that's supposed to vaporize, whatever you want to call it, in like 48 hours, and I've used that too, but sometimes I worry that that is also not going to come out. And the blue one, in particular, did not come out of Batiks at all. So I did almost ruin something using that blue pen, and I'm terrified of it now. So anyways, Check out the video cast for a little review of that. That'll be on Thursday. All right, so next up, I did want to mention that if you haven't been on the blog in a while, go to quiltcabanapatterns.com/blog, and you can see a couple of new patterns that I have on my Etsy shop. One is a nautical table runner. Oh, actually three. A nautical table runner, perfect for summer. A quilt called It's American, also perfect for summer. And a holly table runner, which is perfect for Christmas. So if you're looking for an easy, beautiful table runner for Christmas and you want to get started early, please go take a look. And those are also available on Craftsy and Etsy, I guess. So check those out. All right, moving right along. Let's get into the podcast review questions, because I had a lot of comments that I culled from different places, Facebook, Twitter, my Quilt Guild Yahoo group, and also on the Big Tent. So the questions, I've already told you what the questions were, but I'll just tell you again very quickly. The first one was about how much you pay for a sewing machine tune-up, and the second question was about what the word vintage means to you. So let's have a look at some of these comments. Okay, let me just go on my email here and my computer so I can get to read everyone's comments. I hope that I have not missed anyone's comments. I think that I've gone through and gathered all of them. So from the Big Tent Quilt Cabana Corner podcast subgroup, and I also hope that I'm getting everyone's names right. These are the screen names that people have gone by. On the Big Tent, DDR Quilter says, since I'm a very literal person, antique is anything 100 years or older. That is an accepted definition. Vintage is anything from the 1970s to 100 years ago. That is my arbitrary definition. For example, I am vintage. Oh, I don't think you're vintage. And yes, vintage is overused, but I'm really glad vintage items are appreciated by so many of us. Me too, definitely. Okay, Joy by Robin 1 says, vintage is an overused word now. What is vintage to one is not the same as to another, and I agree with that. Prices do vary on sewing machine cleaning, etc. It has to do with competition in the area as well as just the price of a sewing machine does. Two dealers in my area charge $90 for a cleaning and checkup. Overhauls cost more because there's something more involved, usually parts and repairs. Now, I will add to that that what spurred this whole podcast research question was that I had to have my machine serviced, and it was $139 or $129, I can't remember now. So I am in a suburb that is south of Boston. So $90 in Joy by Robin's area, and she actually doesn't say where she lives, so $90 for her, a little bit higher for mine. I also believe it depends on what type of machine you have. Mine has some digital components to it, so it would probably be a little bit more. Okay, next, the comments from Twitter. LTDERMDVM, who is Lori on Twitter. I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce that. Litter DMV. I can't quite get the pronunciation of her screen name, but I do know that her name is Lori. And Lori says, I just got mine back. Sewing machine was $90, the embroidery attachment $45, and I live in Indiana. All right, so thank you, Lori, for that. And I feel like Lori gave me another one too. Let me see if I can find it here. Okay, nope, that was actually about something else. And let's see. Colleen Quilts 2 says, $100 minimum in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. All right, thank you, Colleen. So now we know how much it is in Canada. And on question 2, Colleen says, how much do you... she was just repeating my question. All right, thank you, Colleen. So $100 in Canada. And I think maybe that was it for Twitter. On Facebook, we had Nancy, who says, I just picked mine up from its first spa day ever. Yes, I'm talking about a Kenmore. Nancy's actually my cousin, and she's talking about the Kenmore that our grandmother gave us for high school graduation. I think I've told you all before, my grandmother gifted all of her granddaughters with sewing machines, nice brand new Kenmores. And she's saying that it cost $59.95 after a $10 off coupon. And Nancy says, I know they charge more for computerized machines. And Nancy lives in Merrimack, New Hampshire. So thank you to Nancy for that. And let's see, we did Twitter, we did Facebook, we did the bank tent. Okay, so now that leaves the ones from my quilt group. And okay, let's see. Carrie says $80 for a computerized machine, and she also lives in Massachusetts. So mine was computerized as well. So it's $80 in her area and $129 in mine. And she says, my first response would be vintage means 1959 and earlier. But then again, I have no concept of time and how many and how fast the years go by. After thinking about it, I would say 30 years old and older, which would put me in agreement with your 14-year-old. Right, because my Amanda was saying that she thought anything from like mid-80s and older was vintage to her. She says, I would add 30 to 100 years old qualifies as vintage, and I still go by the belief anything older than 100 years is antique. It's very interesting to search vintage anything on eBay. The range there seems to go from the 70s to 80s and earlier. Yes, I agree. If you check stuff out on eBay, you'll get all kinds of responses for vintage. Okay, we have another Nancy. And she says, I have only tuned up my 20-year-old Husqvarna Viking twice. Both times, I brought it to the store in New Hampshire where I purchased it, and they did not charge me for a tune-up. That's among the reasons why I'm about to buy a new machine at that store, even though there are several places closer to me in Massachusetts where I could buy the new machine. And yes, Nancy, that's true. If you've got some, if that store has good customer service and you can be loyal to it and find the type of machine that you want, you definitely should keep going back there. I think customer service is everything. And she goes on to say, when the word vintage is applied to wine, it refers to a specific year. So I tend to think of the word in terms of years. However, I also think of vintage as an adjective that means good quality or a very representative object or idea. A vintage 1950s car would probably mean a good quality car. Vintage 1980s to me would mean something that is not old, but represents well the decade of the 1980s. She says, hope that helps. Very well said. Yes, it does. Now, I'm also going to tell you that my mom had taken, she's also in Massachusetts, but she's closer to Boston, had taken her sewing machine, and it was $90 for a tune-up there, and she likes vintage also if it applies to wine. So I definitely agree with that. Jessica says, I pay $100 for cleaning my Juki in Nashua, New Hampshire, and I pay $125 to clean my high-end Pfaff in Woburn. The word vintage means different things based on your time of reference. If you're under 30, anything over 50 is vintage. I use the term for items over 50 years old and also when something new is created to look like the past. Very good. Thank you, Jessica. So those were all the comments that we had on that podcast research question. And I do have a new question for you if you want to chime in and give your opinion. And that new question is, what do you do when you have made so many quilts that you're starting to run out of places to put them? For instance, my walls are covered with my own artwork, which my family may or may not be thrilled about. I don't really know. But I am starting to accumulate a lot of quilts that I've made. I have, you know, many quilts from the Little Quilts for Big Occasions book that I had to make. And those I was able to have put in Peaceful Quilters shop down in Middleborough, which is great because instead of the quilts sitting in a box under my bed or in a drawer somewhere, those wall hangings are on display. So I'm glad that I have some of those out. And then I also have other quilts from some magazines that I've had them published in, and they don't keep them. They send them back, so I have all those quilts. Not to mention all the other quilts that I've made. Now, my quilts are smaller sized, so they're not going on beds. There are a lot of wall hangings and table runners, and I only have so many walls and tables. But I'm wondering, what do you all do with your quilts? I know lots of you make king-size quilts and queen-size quilts. Do you swap them out on your beds? Do you give them away as gifts? Do you give them to charity? Do you just hoard them all? What do you do? Do you display them in your home, and how? So tell me a little bit about what you do with all the quilts that you've made. And at some point, do you start to feel enough is enough with all these quilts laying around the house? What are you going to do with them? Because I know for me and for many of you, each quilt is like a baby. So much thought and work and oftentimes money went into making the quilt that you don't want to just give them away. You really want to keep them. But in all honesty, how can we keep them all? So let me know. What are you doing with them? And then if you want a second question, you can tell me, do you have some quilts that you would never in a million years give away? And how come? Like, what's your most prized one that you would never, ever even consider gifting or giving away? Oh, and do you sell them? Maybe you sell them. So lots of areas in there for you to drop me a comment. So why don't you leave me a comment on my blog or on Facebook or on Twitter? And you can find me all those places. If you're on Facebook, I have a Quilt Cabana Patterns fan page. If you're on Twitter, I'm Quilt Cabana. You can leave it on my blog. That's probably the easiest. So anyway, or you can leave me on the Big Tent or on the Yahoo group. So that's the research question, and we'll let that sit for about a month, and I'll add up all the comments at the end and report them back to you, because that's kind of a fun part of a podcast is you get to hear your name and your comment read. I know I always feel good when I'm listening to a podcast and they say, oh, you know, she said whatever. It's just kind of a little high point of the day, so leave me your comments for that. And lastly, I just wanted to bring up that Katie of Katie's Quilting Corner put a tutorial on her blog yesterday about using your embroidery machine and designs to create all over edge-to-edge background quilting on your quilts. She has a beautiful tutorial with lots of pictures that show you exactly how to do that. And I just think it's worth sharing because I know I have an embroidery machine and I had not even considered using it to quilt my quilts. So now that I've seen Katie's tutorial, I actually think I can do it. And I don't have a very fancy embroidery machine. I have the Brother one that I think I got at Joann's or Walmart. It's a little bit limited, but I think that I can enlarge my designs enough that I could probably do that. And that would be perfect stitching on the background of your quilt. So, and it might be easier than free motion. It's definitely something to check out. And you can find this. I'm going to put it on my blog as well, a link to her tutorial. So you can find the link there. But if you're in a hurry and you really want to see it quickly, it's www.katiesquiltingcorner.com. And the post was from April 29th. And it's called How to Quilt Using Your Embroidery Machine. She also has a really, really pretty quilt there that she's working on. So thank you, Katie, for that. You always bring us such great information. So we thank you for that. And let me check my list here, because I think that's about it. And this podcast is getting on in length, so I'm going to wrap it up. But don't forget, I did just want to thank Tanisha from Crafty Garden Mom for her iTunes review that she put up there in the last week or two. So I was on there poking around and I saw the review. Thank you, Tanisha. I appreciate that. And Tanisha also has a really nice podcast, and it's under craftygardenmom.com, I think, or it's on Podbean. If I'm messing that up, I'm really sorry. But it's Crafty Garden Mom, and I think that that's it for today. So remember to join me on Thursday for the new video cast on YouTube. Again, it's under Quilt Cabana, and it will be called Quilt Cabana Corner Episode 2. So we will see everybody then. I hope that you have a great day and that you get lots of quilting done. Bye-bye, everyone.